Ladies and gentlemen, this podcast is sponsored by BetterHelp.
That's right. We all know that life can be quite overwhelming sometimes. And for us, I mean, in the jobs we do, it's very 24/7. And we've experienced burnout quite a lot. And I'm sure a lot of you at home experience burnout. If you don't know any of the symptoms of burnout, I can give you some there. Lack of motivation, feeling helpless or trapped, detachment, fatigue, and more.
Now, we associate burnout with work, but that's not the only cause. Any of our roles in life can lead us to feel burned out, and BetterHelp Online Therapy wants to remind you to prioritize yourself. Mental health is obviously very important. Talking with someone can help you figure out what's causing stress in your life.
Mate, I know a lot of people as well. The thing I like about BetterHelp is that essentially it's online therapy. Mm. You know, you can speak to someone on your phone or on your computer online. Don't even have to leave your room, because I know a lot of people struggle with booking somewhere and going to actually leave the house and do the therapy. Yeah. So with BetterHelp, you can do it online from the comfort of your home. And not only that, it's also more affordable.
Yeah.
You know, it is cheaper. So for you lot listening at home, we have a little offer for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. To get 10% off, go to betterhelp.com/pitch. That is betterhelp.com/pitch for 10% off.
And you'll be matched with a therapist in under 48 hours. Back on with the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you are following us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Give us a 5-star rating. It massively helps us out. Enjoy. Did you watch the Australian Costa Rica penalty shootout?
I saw the highlights.
Yeah. What do you think of Mr. Redmayne?
Big.
The impressive goalie.
Oh, g'day, mate.
Right.
No, I thought it was utterly outrageous what he did.
How many penalties did you save? Was it two?
I think if a footballer can stop in a penalty or do a hip...
But they're not meant to. But you know when someone like digs in a penalty spot, everyone looks at them and thinks, you're unsporting. He threw away the bottle. He had his bottle. Is that right? He had his bottle with all like the info and stuff.
Yeah.
He just launched the Costa Rican goalkeeper's bottle into the crowd.
Well, no, it wasn't Costa Rica, was it? It was Peru.
Peru.
Sorry. Yeah. New Zealand played Peru. Costa Rica and then... Australia play Peru.
Yeah.
Do you agree or disagree with what he did? Would you do it?
The movements or the throwing of the bottle?
Both.
Movements is fine.
Movements is fine.
I don't mind that. I've been in football for a long time. Throwing of the bottle.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a dick.
He came on for the shootout, right?
Did he?
I swear he was subbed on for the shootout. He was like full Kepa.
So they did Kepa, but he actually came through.
Yeah, yeah. We should double check that.
We don't double check anything. We don't need
to. Go the flow.
Oh, we're actually rolling. But ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Pitch Sides.
Whoop.
Yeah.
Customary whoop whoop.
Customary whoop whoop.
It's hot.
Yeah, it's the hottest day in.
It might be too hot.
It might be. Nice.
That's good.
We are joined by the delightful Mr. Zach Jelov. How are you?
Thank you for having me, lads. Yeah, very good. Thank you. Very, very good. I appreciate you inviting me on.
Yeah, we recently had Rory, and there's been some controversial opinions.
He has a lot of them.
Yeah. So it'd be a different person on the Chelsea spectrum. You know?
I'm very calm. Normally.
I like the majority of Rory's thing. I think what he comes out with is delightful a lot
you
of the time.
You are two very opinionated people that will die on the sword.
There was one.
Rory Southgate one annoyed me recently.
Yeah, his tweet. He put a tweet out about Southgate, didn't he?
Out of interest, what do you guys think of the current England situation? Now 6 hours... Without, I think it's an open play goal. Yeah.
Well, you put a tweet out as well.
Oh, I got a lot of stick.
You tweeted, it's the Nation League, guys. Yeah. It's not that deep. No one cares.
Well, it's true, because France have been god-awful as well, right?
You remember Kevin De Bruyne, one of the best players in the world, was like, it's just a glorified friendly. Like, yeah. What are we doing making us play so many games?
Belgium got beat, right?
But no one cares about Nations League. Yeah. I don't even watch a single game.
The thing I will appreciate is like for fans that are going to these games and paying the money, I can understand like you don't want to just see an England performance where they just don't care and they're not putting their heart and soul into it. But also at the same time, like these guys have played like 60 matches in the season.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the idea of
give
like,
them a break.
Doing another one. And also it's an England squad that realistically probably isn't going to be featuring that heavily in the World Cup, like
Ramsdale
isn't going to be in goal, it'll be Pickford and so on and so forth. Like, the way people were talking about it, I was kind of just like, oh, it's not that deep. It's not.
What's your opinion on? I think KDB or someone has said about how they're playing too many games and they're not getting time off. And then someone goes, hang on a minute, you're getting paid 400k a week. Why can you not play these games?
Mm. I mean, I can understand.
They're not getting paid in the off season, are they? Surely.
Of course they are.
Football, I don't know how it works.
So they get the 400k a week even
yes.
after the season's ended?
Yes, every month.
Yeah, but that's like you going on holiday and then...
But But you get holiday pay, right? When you go on holiday.
Yeah, no.
But of course they get paid during the summer.
I think that's the thing. It also just depends on the contract, right? Like, I don't think when they sit there, I want 400K a week. They'll go, I want 12 million in a year.
So, exactly.
And then everyone likes
okay. You're
down,
telling me, you're telling me.
Like
so, you think Man City, during July, just go, sorry, lads.
I didn't.
That's exactly what you thought happened.
No, because it makes more sense that they get a yearly salary, right? Rather than a weekly wage.
They'll get paid monthly.
They get paid weekly.
Really?
I swear to God, they get paid weekly.
It'll probably be up to the player.
Because at McDonald's, I got paid bi-weekly. Who gets paid every 2 weeks? I don't know.
I did when I was a waiter. I got paid every 2 weeks.
Some people get paid every day.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
But to say that they don't get paid during the summer is very stupid.
No, or maybe just, like a reduced amount because they're not currently...
No.
They're not training.
Mate, Sheikh Mansour is not going to be going, we're going to reduce your wage by 30% in July.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry, Haaland. You've signed for us, but me, you're not getting paid your full wage.
Yeah, yeah.
They're doing media, they're doing... appearances, they're doing training, they got a trainer.
They still represent the club.
Moron.
It'll be like weekly.
That is moronic behaviour.
right.
He's got you there. He's dug you out proper.
But
we've got Scotland tomorrow, right?
Who has?
England.
See, this is my point.
Yeah.
I didn't even know. Every time England have played this week in the Nations League, I had not a clue.
Mm.
What is the Nations
League? I haven't watched a single minute, by the way.
No, I tend, like, also as well, like, during this part, the season's finished, like, especially when you work in football, you watch so much football, you're doing so much stuff involved in football, and it gets to these times, it's like, well, this doesn't really matter. I'm not going to watch it. A bit of downtime. So it's like, and also, again, he's trialing stuff, like, if he wants to try 4 at the back, or go to 3 at the back, or put Bellingham there, and this. And so I'm happy with him trialing it, as long as it then gets to the World Cup and he's found his games. Obviously, England not scoring in 6 hours isn't great. But I mean, there's people that were like, sack him and all this. This is a guy that came in 2018 with no expectations, got us to the semi-finals, then the Euros to the finals. And I think, like, worst comes to worst, he deserves the World Cup later this year.
I think he's done it. I honestly think Gareth Southgate is doing a fantastic job.
I agree. 100%.
At England.
100%
agree. And what? Just because he's experimenting in some dead ting games, fam. Do you know what I mean? Rory tweeted.
Before you say that, the most appropriate comparison is, you know, like when you think of preseason friendlies, you've got like Man United and they go, fucking hell, we're winning the league, boys.
Yeah.
And they've just slapped like Real Madrid C team, like 14-0, and they go, Lingard scored 4 times. Yeah. We are winning the Premier League. And then
they rolls on to
Caesar. Yeah. yeah.
Or it's the other way where like Boreham Wood have somehow managed a 1-1 draw against Arsenal.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
When you look at the lineups, you sort of just take it. They're just experimenting.
Exactly.
They're just letting players play who don't get the minutes. But I think, honestly, bring back friendlies. Who doesn't love a little friendly game?
It's basically what they are, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, I think this is it. Like, it's not that deep. And if you went to the game, sorry.
Is there a climax to the tournament next summer then? Is that how it works?
Yeah, there will be a final. There is a final eventually.
Oh, there
I
is.
Can't remember when it is. I can't remember when for the life of me.
It was Switzerland. Was it Switzerland and Portugal?
The one that I remember was when we got to the final and we lost to the Netherlands.
England got to the final?
Of a Nations League, yeah. Or it was like a semi-final, a few years ago. Like,
yeah.
How long has this Nations League been going on for?
3 years now. Like, but just no one pays it that much attention.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's not like, it's not.
Yeah, if you know this competition inside out,
fair play.
You watch too much football.
Honestly, I was with Jordan Henderson the other day and I had no idea England were playing.
Yeah.
England were playing at the time. I don't think he had any idea.
He wasn't playing.
He was just in London.
Jordan, you know, Gareth,
have you called him out?
No, he's obviously not in the squad,
right?
But Rory tweeted, Rory, I can't lie, but you've had a stinker here, mate. I can't lie.
Yeah, but he doesn't care. That's the beauty of it. He doesn't care.
He's triggered me. Southgate is a coward, truly woeful, tactically inept, and so blatantly out of his depth, wasting one of the most gifted crops of players we have ever had on a manager who lacks even a semblance of bravery and tactical nous, needs to do the right thing in his country. And walk
that's so harsh, man.
It's
got us further than any manager since 66.
Tweet this, Rory, when we're in the final of the World Cup.
Exactly. Are we loving it? And this is the thing as well. This is a manager as well who has like spent so long like with these players, developing them. Yeah. Like half the reason like he gets on so well with them is he spent time with them in the under 21 group and all this. And like Mason Mount and like Saka, like he's more than happy to give them. Saka at 19 started the Euros final. Like would Sam Allardyce have done that? Who was the manager before?
And played brilliantly as well.
Exactly. Yeah, he's fantastic, man. Like I think he gets I think he gets overly criticized, and I actually think when he does eventually leave, because I probably think this is his last tournament. Because he said before, like he doesn't want to overstay his welcome. I think once that happens,
do you think he carries on if he wins the World Cup?
I think whatever happens.
Oh really?
Because if you win it, like great go out, on a high. If you do really badly, go out. And if you do okay,
three major tournaments is quite a lot for an international manager.
And to have built like a good amount of respect for yourself. Like when he first got the job, people were like, oh, no.
Yeah, they were.
And obviously there was the whole Allardyce thing where they were like, what's happened here? Mm. Like, all this kind of stuff. And then, yeah, he's got to a point now where people like highly respect him. Like what he does after, whether he goes into club football, whether he goes into the FA or whatever.
I think he'll do that.
Question. I think so as well. I don't know whether Gareth Southgate would want to be a club manager unless it's like a top six one. And even then, like are the top six going to be really looking at someone like Gareth Southgate when people like, Thomas Tuchel could be available, or Pochettino's available right now. Are about, so yeah. But overall, like he's a legend in my eyes.
Who would replace him after the World Cup? Do you think?
I mean, with the way England are going, with this young side that are developing, like I think it's got to be a young manager who's developing.
Eddie Howe's
all right. He's all right. Like I think he's doing a good job.
He's got a good project already.
Well.
Yeah.
He's going to Champions
League. I was thinking maybe even like Graham Potter. Like yeah, that's Graham Potter.
I think that's general consensus of preferred.
But
manager.
Would he like want to go into club football when he may be ready for maybe a top six job?
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
We'll say something went tits up with Spurs or Arsenal or Chelsea, and like they were looking for another manager to build a project. Graham Potter would be a fantastic.
International football is so different to club football. Yeah. Like it's not as 24/7 as
well, you don't
club
get,
management.
You don't get the players for that long. No, like you get them for a couple of weeks and then they're gone again. So you've got to get someone that can build a rapport really quickly with them, which is why Southgate's so good, because he knows them for so long. So yeah, it's tough. I mean, we'll have to come to that next year, I guess, if he's still there or not.
So you mentioned Tuchel just a second ago.
Thomas.
You are a Chelsea fan.
For my sins.
Yeah, for those people that don't know you personally. What's the current situation at Chelsea from a Chelsea fan standpoint?
You've got Ted Lasso in charge?
No, we don't have Ted Lasso in charge. No, we don't. We have an experienced businessman in charge. Look.
Are you excited for the future or is it...
It's tough. Like you go from a club that can essentially buy whoever they want to a club that now have to be a bit more careful with what they're doing. Like we can't go and do a Romelu Lukaku or a Kepa Rizbalaga every summer and then if it fails, go, oh, I don't matter, go get this guy, buy this guy. We've got to be smarter with our signings, which to a degree is probably... more fun, not mostly more fun, but more, you just have to be smarter with it. And maybe means that like your signings are a bit more exciting per se. Like you're not going for the big names every time, maybe trying to do the Liverpool approach of really like analysing and trying to get it right. But that's not easy to do, like the money ball approach per se. So that's going to be interesting. And then like when you look at the way the squad is at the moment, like losing Antonio Rudiger is like a really, really big loss.
He was your solid him and Thiago Silva is getting on.
Exactly.
He's getting on.
Yeah, like he continues to impress every single time. And then you've got like our centre back situation is really bad, especially if we continue with a three at the back formation. We've then at the moment got Chaloba, Sarr, Ampadu's come back from loan, but whether he's going to be starting is a question. Thiago Silva and Aspilicueta, and even Aspilicueta might leave to Barcelona.
Yeah.
And so you then looking at it, you go, okay, Levi Colwill had a fantastic year in the Championship. Maybe a Premier League loan is better for him so he can get minutes, but I wouldn't mind him kind of playing for Chelsea this season as well. Jules Koundé is meant to be joining, but we probably still need another one.
That would be
one.
A very good signing.
Then you're looking at like midfield. Chelsea probably need another midfielder. Kante's getting on. Jorginho's getting on. Like Conor Gallagher's come in, but like he's not really going to be playing centre mid, you'd think. I think Conor Gallagher, you want him slightly further up. Eight. Like Chelsea need like another DM, and Conor Gallagher's not going to be playing DM.
Yep.
Like, I mean, this is where people talk about Declan Rice. Like Declan Rice isn't going to be getting bought this summer. As much as I would love him to come to Chelsea, I'd be over the moon for it. But like he's got such a long contract, and West Ham aren't going to accept anything over £100 million.
Do you not think Rice is fighting for the same spot as Gallagher then?
No.
So you'd play Rice as a...
I'd play Rice as a DM, yeah, as a six, essentially. Like, the way he's come on, like, over the past couple of seasons is ridiculous. Like, he's just dominating midfielders in the Premier League. Like, he's one of the best midfielders in the world.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
23. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. And every single year, he's just getting better and better, which is what you want to see in young players. Yeah. And then you get to the forward situation. Like, Chelsea for the past 2-3 seasons can't fucking score goals.
Yeah.
Like, forever. Like,
you got the number nine.
So
it's the number nine curse.
In the past 15 years, I was thinking about this a couple of days ago, Chelsea have had a success in Drogba and Diego Costa.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, like,
the list Morata of your failed number well. Nines is insane.
Alexandre Pato didn't go. Eto was all right, actually. Eto wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
But it's rough. But then I sit there and I'm like, okay, I don't think Chelsea actually need to go and buy another striker.
Well.
They've got Kai Havertz there just playing through the middle. He's so
Lukaku
good.
Is leaving this summer.
By the looks of it, yeah.
He is going back to Inter, apparently.
Yeah, whether it's a loan or it's an option to buy, like, supposedly.
Kneeling at the gates.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah, begging.
What's your relationship like with Lukaku? Do you like him? Or is he a bit of a tosser, what he did to you?
You're quite close to a fair few players as well, right?
Yeah. I'm not best mates with them. Yeah. But, like, obviously with what I do, like, I speak to them a lot. I get on with them really well. Like, even when I met, like, I was there for Lukaku's, like, I did the first interview with him.
Really?
Yeah. And he was lovely, man. He was so good. Like, such a nice guy. I remember coming away being like, this guy's, like, he loves the club. And he really did. That's how it felt. Like, he was sitting there telling me about how, like, when he first came here, he was sitting in those seats and all this. But it's just... You know, I think it's a thing that's like, we've not used him maybe the way he should be used. Like, I think sometimes people look at Lukaku and go, he's a big guy, he's a target man. Where actually that's not how I think he plays. Yeah. He's a guy that runs in behind this kind of stuff. And we maybe weren't necessarily playing to his strengths. I think he's left his agent now as well. So I think that there was parties involved too with that. So overall, I just think it's a transfer that's just not worked out, sadly. And it was built up, because it was built up to be this fairy tale, like
his return.
The return of the king. Like, he's like, Chelsea needed a goal scorer. They've gone and spent 100 million to get him back to the bridge, all this stuff. Him talking about how much he loved Didier Drogba. And he does, like, he legitimately does. And so, it's sad. Like, I look at it with more, like, not, I look at it less with anger and more like sadness that, like, this is a transfer that could have been so good and should have been so good. Mm. But hasn't worked out. Like, it's again annoying. Like, it's another one where you go, like, it didn't, like, Chelsea's another striker didn't work out. And, like, especially in the summer before, I was like, do we really need to sell Tammy Abraham? Like, I quite like Tammy Abraham, and now look what he's gone to do. Yeah. Like, kill it.
Is that just the league, though? Or
I think Tammy Abraham's a really good striker. Like, at 22.
Yeah, discrediting either Lukaku
for sure.
Or
Serie A's a slower league.
Yeah.
So, like, for guys like Tammy Abraham and Lukaku, who are quicker and are willing to play in behind, like, you can benefit from that. Like, you're up against maybe slower defenders, older defenders as well, and in general, just the league is slower, so you can do better. But also, like, in his first season at Chelsea, when, again, the whole, like, transfer ban thing had happened and Frank Lampard was first there, he scored 15 Premier League goals in his first season, which was solid. And then the next season, things happened and he wasn't starting. And, like, I understand why he left, fair play to him. But I look at it and I'm like, well, you know, did we have to go and spend 100 million when we had someone like that there who personally has shown everyone that he's a fantastic striker this season?
Is that a little bit of a Chelsea curse in that sense, though, that you always think the grass is greener by getting bigger players? Whereas,
I think that it's happened with Roman.
Because it's happened with Gehi. Gallagher's obviously coming back.
Tomorrow.
Exactly.
He won Serie A.
He did, and he's fantastic. Like, I watched Tomorrow a bunch of times and thought that this is a fantastic centre back. I don't know what happened behind the scenes with him and maybe whether he fell out with anyone or whatever happened, but he wanted minutes. AC Milan wanted a centre back, and it was the perfect situation for him. I think it's been a bit of a mix because obviously with the contract situation with certain players like Rudiger, like when Lampard was there, like that's when people weren't too sure whether Lampard wanted to keep Rudiger. And then obviously Thomas Tuchel came in and he won the Champions League, but then there was only a year left to get a new deal. And then the Roman Abramovich thing happens when you could try and sort out a new deal. So it's basically been like a really bad, unfortunate number of events that have basically allowed a situation like this to happen. But then at the same time, like you do look at Mark Gehi and you go like, well, he was the best centre-back in the Championship the year before. Everyone kind of knew that he was going to be fantastic. Like, he'd been unbelievable for Swansea, and he's gone and shown it. Like, surely there should have been some thinking there. But I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just, like, a bit of luck. And I also think sometimes Chelsea do get a little bit caught up with the, let's go and make the big signing who's been fantastic that year, and maybe not look so much at the... Not that they're disrespecting the academy, because obviously look at Mason Mount, look at the guys that do... Reece James, the guys that do come through and when they get their chance, they take it.
Well, at the start of the season, you had like Tino at Southampton, Broya.
Yeah, who's great. Good, yeah.
And then Chelsea didn't really kick on themselves from there either. So.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think it's just... I would like to think that going forward, we'll kind of learn from our mistakes. And I think we also have as well that when we have gone and sold these players, like previously when it was like Mohamed Salah and Lukaku and Kevin De Bruyne, we sold them and like didn't put a buyback in, didn't put anything like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And they went and killed it and we look like mugs. Whereas now, when the players are leaving, we're at least putting things like matching the clause like we do have with Gehi, where if someone goes and wants to buy Gehi for 50 million, Crystal Palace comes to our first and go, would you like to do this instead? And then with like Tammy Abraham, we've got a buyback option of 80 million. We got 40 million from them for him. So essentially like a 40 million. Like, so we've been smarter with that kind of thing. But maybe if we just played them, we wouldn't have had to sell them in the first place.
Do you think Ted Bowley will come in with a different approach to what Roman did then?
Yeah, definitely. Like, because also Roman just had so much money, like that he could just do what he wanted essentially. Yeah. Like it didn't matter if Chelsea, like wrote off a 1.5 billion loan. Like, and that's insane.
That's actually so stupid, isn't it?
Like, it's mental. But whereas Todd Bowley's like his whole consortium.
Todd,
like,
sorry.
Ted. Jesus, he's done it from
months of. Here in Ted Lasso, Jesus, I'm
not even watched the show. I've got it downloaded though.
It's all right. I saw the first season. It's all right. Yeah, it's
I need to watch it so I can actually allow myself to.
The references that people drop. You're like, I know that one.
But I don't know, man. Like, we just got to be smarter with it. We got to be smart. Like, even I read today at some point whether it was a legitimate quote. Like, I've just read it from a place like could be made up or taken out of context. Like he said, we can't, at least this first year, we can't really go and splash out on huge amounts of signings. I just think we've got to be smarter. Like, we've got to try and do the Liverpool approach. Like, they've done it so well year after year. Like, the first time they've gone and spent like 100 billion euros, not even pounds, is on this Nunes guy. And that's fine. And that's the only time really people have questioned their signings. They've just got it right time after time after time. And even when they do get it wrong, it's not really that much money. Like, Minamino didn't cost an arm and a leg. Like, Naby Keita did cost a decent amount, but they've also got a decent amount from him. Mm. So yeah, it's just about being smarter and like accepting that we're not probably going to be able to go and just buy a £100 million person every single year.
You lot are linked with quite a few players already.
Yeah, we are.
Shock, Usman Dembele's linked. Like, he is absolutely...
I like that though.
Every year. And he's been staying relatively injury free. Mm-hmm. Koulibaly for 35 million.
Yeah, interesting.
Marcus Alonso going the other way, leaving. Christensen going, leaving. Yeah. So a lot of people going out. And that one I'm interested in actually, quite heavily linked with Sterling for about 60 million quid.
Yeah, Raheem Sterling.
He's out of contract next summer.
That's a good one.
Would
you, I think he'd thrive.
I think because he's not going to get the minutes at City.
Well, this is it. We're City now bringing in Erling Haaland, like the same situation with Gabby Jesus as well, about possibly going to Arsenal and Tottenham and so on and so forth. Like, these guys, he'll want minutes, especially with the World Cup coming up as well. Exactly. They can't afford to sit on the bench. And so for someone like Raheem Sterling, who's had such a fantastic career already, it just depends on what his goals are. Like, is he still wanting to win trophy after every, like, three trophies a season, two trophies a season? Mm. If that's it, you're going to have to stay at City. But if your goals is to play as many games as possible and try and obviously be a crucial part in the team, then yeah, like, coming to Chelsea is an ideal place to go. Like, Chelsea have been constantly looking for a person to be on the left wing or the right wing. It's constantly changing, whether it's Pulisic, whether it's Kalamata Odoi, whether it's Ziyech, whether it's even Mason Mount or Werner at times playing out there. And so, like, I think Raheem Sterling is a fantastic player. I think he sometimes gets, again, underrated. Like, the season just gone with maybe his worst one of recent years, and it was still like very good. Like, he'd come in at Chelsea and be one of the best players. And also, like, he's an experienced guy now. Like, Chelsea do have quite a young squad, and so to have someone in the attack who would be quite experienced, that has been there and done that, and won Premier Leagues after Premier Leagues, like, Chelsea are still going to try. And obviously, like, personally, I don't think anyone's going to beat Liverpool City to a Premier League for the next 3 years at least. It's ridiculous.
And there'll be Newcastle coming and doing
it could be some crazy thing like that. But, like, that doesn't just stop. You don't just go, well, we're not going to try. Like, you go into
the best intentions. More money, high positions,
literally. And players get paid on bonuses and things like that. And so, like, Raheem Sterling for me would be a fantastic buy. 60 million for a guy that's got 1 year left. it's a little bit too much maybe. So I'd try and get that down. But like, yeah, Raheem Sterling, get him in. At this point, centre back wise, I'd take you at centre back. To be quite honest, like I'd happily take you at centre back. We just need like the names. We need the options.
So who are your three Jules realistic Kondé signings you think you'll do?
Yeah. Nice. Realistic signings, I think Dembele. I like what I'm hearing about Dembele.
So
like
not Raheem, because I mean, if you pick up one, you kind of exclude the other, right?
I think Dembele, you would take Dembele.
I like the risk of Dembele. It's true.
Like it's explosive, it's a
risk where he joins and he could be absolutely dog shit and it doesn't work out, or he joins and he's phenomenal and he's fantastic. And the guy that he had his best seasons under was Thomas Tuchel at Dortmund.
Yes, true.
At the same time,
it is true.
Pulisic was also pretty good under Thomas Tuchel at Dortmund and doesn't play for Chelsea. So I guess it's both sides of the spoon. I don't know what the saying is, but yeah. There you go.
That could have been one from you, to be fair.
Both sides of the spoon.
That could have been one from you.
That might have been, I've just heard yours and gone with it.
Both sides of the spectrum.
Sure. But I like, and also like he's younger. Again, he came up, as you mentioned, like his end of the season, he was pretty injury free. I think he got the most, either got the most assists for Barcelona or the most assists in La Liga.
Yes.
Which is like fantastic. And again, like that right wing position, if we get someone down there, because actually what I do think is Chelsea lack creativity.
Yeah.
Like I think we are desperate for a creator. Like Mason Mount is doing so much of the work for us.
And
Callum Hudson-Odoi is also pretty good, but he's always injured or he doesn't play.
But you have both James and Chilwell back for the start of the season, which is huge.
Thank God.
Like your wheels started falling apart as soon as Chilwell got injured.
Exactly. Like the second, if you look at Chelsea's like graph of like winning games and losses, the second like Ben Chilwell gets injured after
it is event, literally it drops off a cliff.
It drops off massively. And just like, because also not only, because Reece James is a better creator around too, but Chilwell isn't bad, but also Chilwell's scoring form was like ridiculous. He was scoring so many goals.
Every time he scored, I was fuming because he didn't have my FL.
Yeah, literally, it was every game at one point. Yeah. It was like four games really in a row or something. Yeah.
It really was. And he started the season not even playing at the beginning. It was Alonso that was playing.
Yeah.
And also like defensively, like Chilwell's like, he's got both sides of the game on lock, which is like something that we were missing so badly.
The only issue is the three at the back.
Yeah, and so like, so if we say like Chelsea have been scouting Jules Koundé now for over a year and they're still after him, which makes you think like he's going to be pretty good. Like you'd like to think that if you're scouting someone for over a year,
but also get a move on.
Yeah, exactly. Does worry me. He had this slight injury that he's picked up and always had surgery on, but also footballers have surgery and things. It's not the end of the world. I think Koundé will be at the back. I think Thiago Silva is still the main guy.
Yeah, like, his legs could go and so he'd still be like top 2-3 in man. For him.
He'll just do a Terry at the end of his career.
Yeah.
He's ridiculous. Honestly, he's fantastic. And then after that, like, I'd take anyone. Koulibaly, I don't mind. I think Koulibaly's a little bit agile enough.
I feel Koulibaly is like, if you're going to pick anyone in world football, he's like the most appropriate replacement
but
for Rudiger.
The guy's mental. But Koulibaly has been linked to every club for about 5 years and no one's taken the plunge, which does worry me slightly. And he's also he's a bit older, but Levi Colwill, I promise you this, like he is fantastic. He's a guy who is legitimate.
But that's what you need to do. You need to start relying on youth a little bit.
Exactly. And so like if you bring in a guy like Koulibaly who is a bit older and hopefully he's not on monstrous wages, and then you kind of like give the minutes between him and like you can then introduce Colwill to the side and he's not had the pressure. Because if you introduce Colwill, even though I'm sure he'd say he'd happily take it, but like the introduce, you are the starting centre back for Chelsea week in, week out.
So much pressure
this season.
Yeah.
It's a ridiculous amount of pressure. You just don't want to do that to someone. And so like if you can get him and rotate him in, a bit like that we did with Chilobo as well, and again continue getting Chilobo
or just
the play squad.
Him. Trevor,
yeah, I thought Trevor actually like he was very good in the end. Like he had a solid. He's a guy who at the beginning of preseason like hadn't like he was expected to go back out on loan. No one expected him to be starting, and then he impressed so much on preseason that he got his place, and then he scored in the first game of the season for Chelsea. And overall,
he's had a pretty good campaign. Set piece,
he's solid, man. Like, he scored a couple of goals. He scored against Juventus in the Champions League. Yep. Like he's a really good striker. He's like defender. He's like 23-ish, 24, maybe a little bit younger. But like he's another guy that come from the academy. Like he's good. Like if Chelsea can continue every season to like go out and buy a player or two, but then also introduce an academy prospect, one or two a season, like that's the perfect mold in my opinion.
Yeah, it's true.
Like you can't. As much as people would love it to, you can't bring in five academy products like we did when the season we had a transfer ban. and expect them all to work out and also continue to challenge for a title or at least like top four. Like that's tough to do, man, and a lot of pressure on them. And so if you can bring in players and then also introduce one or two, like I think that's a pretty good way to go.
Sorry.
No, don't worry.
I was going to say from Chelsea to Arsenal.
Come on.
Fabio Vieira has just signed for Arsenal.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in like the top percentile of like chance creation.
Well, let me read you some stats about him.
Filthy. Also, before you read his stats out, the first tweet after Vieira was signed, link, bloody blah, Fabrizio went, but Arsenal are still interested in Yuri Tielemans.
It's good. Good.
We're interested in every minute of every year.
Get in.
Will we get him? Eventually, maybe in 5 years' time, we'll get him.
Yeah, maybe.
But he got 7 goals, 16 assists, and 39 appearances last season. 0.9 assists per 90.
Yeah.
I've had clarification from my Portuguese friend who confirmed that Luis Diaz was going to be absolutely insane, came and smashed it, that this kid is fucking unreal.
Well, to your point.
Oh, okay.
He's for 66 minutes per goal or assist last season, excluding penalties.
Yeah.
A goal or assist every 66 minutes. And that is better than both Luis Diaz, 79 minutes, and Darwin Nunes, 78 minutes in the Portuguese league.
Yes.
He's better than both of them.
Yeah, I'm excited, I'm excited.
I mean,
think about the prospects that have come across from the Portuguese
league. Portugal recently has been... Portugal used to be absolute dog shit. Never buy a player.
Bruno,
and now they've been unreal.
Diaz...
Bruno?
Diaz.
Both Diazes City and Liverool.
And then Nunes is going to be a monster as well. I've full faith that Liverool do a great job with it.
Thingy has just signed a new contract. What's his name? Oh my God, that's so embarrassing.
Arsenal?
No. Player? Who's? Oh my God, what's his name?
What team?
Oh my God, Nketiah. So sorry.
Oh yeah, Eddie. Right.
Apologies about that. But Nketiah has just signed a new deal.
Good.
Keeping him at the club until 2027.
Yeah.
Nice.
We've signed Fabio Vieira. And we're still in for Jesus.
You're also getting Saliba back as well.
Yeah, true.
Back. Like, you guys are doing it.
He's I thought you had a pretty decent season.
You had a You had a pretty decent summer last year. You had a great summer last year. You're having a really good summer this year as well. Like, it's impressive. I mean, one thing so far that Arteta's done, and you have to give credit to him, has come in and, like, said, well, if you're not committed to the cause,
Doesn't matter who you are.
Yeah.
Whether you're the club captain in Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang or whether you're Lacazette, where he respected it. He was like, I'll give you your minutes. But then he's also even admitted near the end of the season that he probably didn't respect Nketiah enough when he proved that he actually was an Arsenal striker, an Arsenal level striker. Who's now fantastic as he signed a new contract.
Yeah.
Because now you're also not as desperate for a striker. You can't get, here's an extra, give us an extra 5 million because we know you need a forward. I like the idea of Vieira because also just in general, with being in the Europa League now, you need players.
Yeah, 34 million.
Exactly. Near the end of the season as well, I remember there were so many of your young guys who I'd never heard of before sitting on the bench. And so you just needed guys to make sure you can fill out that squad. But yeah, 34 million is like not necessarily an extortionate amount of money. Like, and again, I see people mention that, oh, we haven't played that many games this season. Luis Diaz, the last season before last, wasn't necessarily a starter for Porto either.
Yeah, yeah.
And now look at him. Like, it's not to say he is going to be Luis Diaz, but I think it's a really good signing. And if you can continue like on these smart buys, even I think Aaron Hickey you're looking at as well from Bologna, who's like a Scotsman that plays in defence for them too. Like,
you're
doing some really interesting business and a young business as well. Like, you're building a fun.
We're building. Heavy.
I like it, man.
I think a lot of clubs, including like United, will look at what Arteta and Arsenal are doing and say, well, we can learn a lot and take a lot away from what you're doing, because honestly, Arsenal are building something big here.
Yeah. But here's a question for you.
Go on.
The top non-penalty goals and assists per 90 in Premier League history is held by two people, Henry and Sergio Aguero. Who is in second? So, well, third joint.
Son.
No. It's 0.9, not 0.91. Who is behind those two? Saw it on a graphic.
Still playing today.
Still playing.
Salah?
No, he's 0.88.
Oh Jesus! 0.88 is ridiculous. Have they played like five games?
And nope.
They played lots of games as well.
Been mentioned before
in today.
Mm-hmm.
Is it any? You didn't find Nketiah?
No.
Lacazette,
Gabriel Jesus.
Yes, Gabriel Jesus is. I feel for Gabriel Jesus, man, because like he's a fantastic player, and he did it towards the end of the season. Start playing quite.
0.9.
Get him. Ridiculous.
Yeah. I didn't realize just how involved, because I mean the past season he's been lesser of a number nine and more right wing, and his assists have just gone through the roof.
So if Arsenal had three quality strikers, That is good depth. There's depth we haven't had in a long time.
Yeah, yeah.
A long, long time.
Well, even the other Gabby can play number nine as well.
Yeah, Martinelli. One of the big things as well that with this upcoming season is you can now make five substitutes.
Yes.
Which, like, so having a bunch of players on the bench means you're going to have more minutes to be able to give them as well. And so, like, you're going to have less injuries, hopefully, as well. And so, yeah, bringing in more signings and bringing in more talented players to be on your bench, like, you can just say to them, well, you're not just going to not play. Like, you will feature. You will get maybe 13, 14, 1500 minutes.
Do you not think there's new five substitute rule, just all it does is just enables the likes of City and Liverpool just to dominate even harder?
It definitely, I think with the way football is going though, like you're just playing so many games, even if you're a mid-table side, like especially with the introduction of the Europa Conference League, like the mid-table sides are also going to be getting
why
European football for teams that were not going to play European football.
Exactly, yeah, I don't mind the European
but it's extra stress though. It makes their league struggle harder.
It does make it tougher. It does make it tougher. But also, like, for the at the end of the day, football's a fan sport, I guess.
Yeah, right?
Look what it meant to Mourinho and Roma.
I completely get that side of it. The only problem is for Premier League teams that obviously prefer to concentrate on the domestic competitions, it is just an added, like,
we'll just do better and get Europa League. or lose every game and go out early.
Yeah. And you do get money. You get more money, obviously, for getting into it and getting further in the competition, which helps. But I also think as well, like, it'll be good for youth players, like five subs. You can get them some more minutes. Like, they can be there for the experience of just going to, like, first team games.
Maybe it's first season syndrome. Maybe the competition over time will be like that people go, oh, do you know what? It's actually pretty good. But
it'll be a great introduction. I'd like to think so anyway.
So where do you think Chelsea... I know it's quite early on. Chelsea, Arsenal, Spurs will do next season. How do you think they'll do? Obviously, it's going to be City, Liverpool grabs the title. Yeah. I think we're all aware of that, aren't we?
Yeah.
Are we doing a top six?
Let's do a top six.
Early doors,
before subs. Not subs, transfers.
Yeah. I mean, the window opened like a week ago. So Liverpool, City, put them at the top, whatever.
Who's first?
I'd like to probably go City. Like losing Mane as well, as obviously today confirmed that he's gone to Bayern is big. Liverpool second. Spurs is a weird one. Like, Spurs have just gone, you know what, we're committing to you, Conte.
True.
Like, here's, buy any player you want, tell us who you want, we'll go get them. Basuma's such a big signing for them.
I'm gutted about that because Arsenal are heavily linked.
I think he's class.
He's ridiculous. Like, he's such a good footballer. And like, for the fee, if it is 20, I think it might be £35 million with add-ons. But for now, £25 million, unbelievable. Like, really, really good signing for them. If they can get another centre back in as well, like, that'd be fantastic. They also probably need if they get Jed Spence in, another really, really good signing. And so overall, like, fixing the areas that probably need a bit of fixing, and then whilst still having a front three of Harry Kane, Heung-Min Son and Kulusevski, like, it's not too bad at all. And then they were also rumored to go look at Richarlison. Like, it's which just is great cover as well. Yeah. Fantastic depth. So, like, at the moment, based on, like, no other, like, Chelsea not bringing anyone else, I'd probably say Tottenham third.
I would agree.
But the only thing is,
we haven't signed the players that we think we've signed yet. We can only go off.
Could be very different this come the beginning of the season.
Yeah, we get like Yuri.
It's just horrible to look at Spurs and just how good they
are. Gabby.
Yeah. Like, it's stressful.
I completely agree. And then also seeing, like, one of my biggest hatreds is football Twitter. And, like, just seeing
I've come off Twitter.
Oh, mate, I don't blame you. Yeah. I don't blame you at all.
Yeah, I'm tuning in like about a month.
I really don't blame you at all, mate. Yeah. Especially football Twitter, like, the most toxic place ever.
It is a cesspool.
And it's just people, like, trying to, like, bait people in and get 1-0s and post the Mbappe meme where he puts his arms like that, or the crying meme, whatever. Just seeing, like, so many Spurs fans being like, we're gonna do so much better than everyone else and all this
it's
stuff.
It's still almost, over a decade now since they won a trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean,
embarrassing.
Fair play to them, because they've got a six squad.
Like, or a year that Spurs, that the first iPhone came out, and then Spurs, like, Spurs last one a trophy.
That's actually so
that
like
is
that,
mental.
Like, it's good. As if you're a Spurs fan, you're probably happy that you're.
You know, oh, they must be this year. They're going to be so loud.
But I hate to break it to you, lot. Like, you can be good, but you've got to win trophies, otherwise you're a laughing stock.
No, it is true. It is true. But I do think that this is the year that they get something.
Do you remember Arsenal's the website that was made about us? It was like, how long since Arsenal last won a trophy? Yeah. What's that, 7 years? Yeah. Long time. Spurs, fuck me. That is embarrassing. It's been decades.
The thing is, they're picking up players that
smart signings
I really like. In terms of, like, Perisic, I think he's Brilliant.
Yeah.
But he's at the club also,
like a lot of the players they're buying.
Exactly.
What are they doing?
Kulusevski, yeah, really good. Bentancur, phenomenal.
The only thing,
who else are they going after in midfield as well? Even Bissouma, the one that just signed, is like...
It's ridiculous.
Annoying. It's actually annoying.
And it's committing to Conte, like signing Perisic and giving him huge wages for a guy that's over 30.
Yeah.
Like, he's saying, okay, mate, like we're going to do what you want. You're telling us names. We're going to do what you want, which for Conte is amazing. But also...
And Fraser Forster.
And Fraser Forster.
He's there as well.
Yeah, great substitute goalkeeper. But the only thing is, if say it does go tits up in some way, because it is a lot of signings, it's not easy to integrate all these signings at once. Yeah. So if it does go tits up and say by, I don't know, November or just after the World Cup, Spurs are still, like say something really bad happens in the World Cup and like before they weren't doing amazing, Harry Kane's now got like a 2-month injury and it comes to February and like Spurs aren't still doing well. And like Tottenham have to go, well, do we sack Conte? Like, what do we do here? And you've committed so much to the way he wants to play. Like, there is a risk there. There's also a risk as well that Conte goes, like, Conte is not happy being a manager that, like, is just battling for third. Like, this is a guy who wants to go for the league every single season.
And incredibly emotional as well.
Massively.
Like, he would walk just off
exactly
like a bad performance.
100%. And so, like, if it gets to the end of this season as well, and he goes, we've got third again, like, that's good. We got knocked out of the Champions League. We did this with it. Maybe they won a League Cup. Amazing.
Yeah.
But then, so he goes, he can be like, well, I've done what I needed to do, won them a trophy. And then a team going, hey, do you want to kind of battle for the league over at this, in the Serie A or whatever it might be? Like, or maybe Ancelotti's gone, oh, I'm going to retire now.
Yeah.
Real Madrid's an option here. Like, maybe that's where I'd be like, ah. Oh. You could maybe be making a poor decision but it's a risky decision committing so much to Conte, because we've also seen how teams...
They did it with Mourinho.
They did,
and then sacked him the week of a final that they were in.
Yeah, exactly.
And then didn't even let him see it out.
But then look how that went as well, straight after that. Like, they had Nuno come in.
Yeah.
Like, things went, again, tits up. Obviously, they've now got Conte. It's fantastic. But I just think, like, overall, it is positive. But I guess there is that just in the back of my mind that things might maybe... Maybe I'm just being a believer and hoping it goes tits up.
Yeah.
But that's the...
So what's it go? City, Liverpool, Spurs, Chelsea... Arsenal.
You guys are so up and down, which is the
weird. We were 1 point off third.
No, I know. Which
I can't believe
this
it.
Is exactly.
I know.
And the Newcastle game, like, destroyed.
Oh yes, yeah. I couldn't even watch it, man. I swapped to cricket.
It felt like it was going to happen. Like, it was building up towards it. Like, it was.
There was a total inevitability about that game. It was just like, we're done here.
Yeah, cool. And I don't know. Like, and Mikel Arteta, like, I like Mikel Arteta. I think he's good. And I probably, over the past couple of years, have actually been overly critical of Arsenal and not given them their flowers when they have been good. I think it just depends. Again, if you're bringing in so many signings again and you've only just embedded the guys that have come back in, and already you're looking at, like, so like if Saliba comes in, which out of Ben White or Gabriel is getting dropped?
Ben White.
And so like that's 50 million just now back on the bench or whatever. But again, I guess you've got to have cover and all this kind of stuff. I will still say Chelsea will come fourth.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I have to. For my Chelsea job.
Just out of interest, is there, like, between you two, zero credit for Manchester United in this conversation?
I think Erik ten Hag has...
Do you reckon?
Yeah.
Base.
Seventh?
Yeah, but...
Sixth would be good. I think if you go right now to a United fan, like, you're building it. You give Erik ten Hag the season. Like, he's building a lot. You don't have as many rough, because they had a few games this season where it was like poor. But at least you're watching maybe their losing game, but they're at least seeing something. Like, they at times watching United this season, there was no idea on how to play football. Like, I've spoken to so many United fans where they'll just be like, the ball comes to the back line and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know if there's a system they've got to be doing. It's just like,
that's it. There's no identity, right? There's no.
And so
philosophy.
They finished sixth, but they've also, and like maybe they were battling for fifth or whatever, but they've got an identity as well. And like they've brought in Frankie de Jong, which would be ridiculous if they did.
I'm hearing that might not happen because, who's it? He's on 350k a week, right?
He's on a lot.
And Barcelona.
It's why they want to shift him.
Yeah, I read something that Barcelona are getting rid of someone, so there's potential for him to stay. But I can't remember who they were going to get rid of.
There's a few
the other Dion
as well.
Nigel.
They're also
Luke.
Like, Luke.
Luke. Luke. Luke. Nigel De Jong. There's also a few. I think there's things as well. Like
cheers, Nigel.
There's a there's a possibility as well of some mad thing where Barcelona will like kind of sell their soul and give away, and sell essentially 49.9% of their like.
Or Dembele, for example. Club. I mean, if he goes, then that's...
Well, they free up wages, but they don't get any money on the salary and stuff like this. But there's, a, like, there's a, there, I think there might be a possibility of keeping De Jong. And also, like, it doesn't feel me the best confidence when, like, at the beginning, De Jong was like, "Now I want to stay at Barcelona.
Yeah,
like, I
don't want
to leave. Like, I don't, like, do you really want to sign a player who's like not keen on moving to you? Like, it's maybe not the best idea." But overall, as I said, like, if they get a decent identity and finish sixth, maybe battle for fifth or whatever, like. And aren't getting losing to like Watford at times. Do they lose to Watford this
year? 5-1. Yeah.
Losing to Watford 5-1 and stuff like that, having a bit more respectability about them. I think United fans will be more than happy. And then going into the next season and being able to be like really pushing forward.
Well, I want to get your thoughts on this. Goat wants out.
I know.
What do you reckon?
Do it. Leave the club, Ronaldo.
Straight up.
Are you a, wait, are you a...
I love him.
Are you a Ronnie over Messi?
Oh, yeah.
Surprisingly. Yeah. Sure.
I am.
I actually don't know why I'm shocked. Of course he is. Yeah.
No, I respect both of them.
What is your...
Why you got Bayern shirt on? I didn't even ask.
Ah, Mane supporting today.
Oh. Not Lewandowski.
I saw a thing. I love Lewandowski as well. Yeah. I saw a thing recently and it annoyed me that I sort of agreed with it. And it was like these... I think I screenshotted it actually. I'll show you. It was like these three circles and it had two players in each circle. On the right circle was... greatest goal scorers of all time, and it was like Pele and Ronaldo. On the left circle, it was like greatest dribblers, and it was like Ronaldinho, Neymar. No,
oh, my. Oh no, because he's talking about a Venn diagram, so they'd be in.
Oh, okay.
And one,
oh, okay,
and
okay.
Another one was, I definitely put it in the group chat here. And it, what was the other one?
Assists.
It was, yeah, it might have been most
playmaker or something like that.
Playmaker or something like that.
Chances created or something.
Oh, I swear I put it in the group chat. I didn't. But in the middle, it was like best footballer. And it was just Messi in the middle because he has all of them. And I did agree with it to like a certain extent. But mate, Ronaldo is like...
Where does he go? If you're saying get out, where does he go?
And also, who's going to pay him the wages he wants?
Just, mate, you're 39, 38. How old are you? 55? I don't know. He's getting on.
37, 38, I think.
Go... Portugal.
But you've just said Thiago Silva's running the Premier League defensively.
Yeah, Ronaldo.
And he's older than him.
Ronaldo had an unbelievable season.
That's what I'm saying. So why does he need to leave?
Because United are shit.
Right, get out now. Yeah, but do you not
think it's hampering his legacy?
Yeah.
Saying it, really?
I think, well...
Yeah, but he's also like one of the greatest United players of all time. So
I think...
If he stays...
Go spend another 2 years in Portugal. Go back to Porto.
It's a good league. Good players come from there.
Why would he not?
Go back to Sporting Lisbon.
Sporting Lisbon, rather. Yeah. Sorry. The famous green and white. You know, you could... His kids, you know, raise, go back to Portugal, live...
His kid plays in the United Academy.
I know, but he'll just follow Ronaldo, didn't he? He played at Juventus Academy as well.
Yeah, he did. I don't know, man. I think Ronaldo staying at United is fine. Like, it's...
I think he will stay.
Yeah, for sure.
I think he will stay.
No one in Portugal will be able to pay his wages. Yeah. Like the boys are like 500, 400
does
thousand pounds a week.
Does he think... Do you
Coming
think
from the
he
Portuguese
cares?
Taxpayers.
Do you think he cares? Or do you think he cares about... But is it more of a, I need to be on the highest wage at the club because I'm Ronaldo? He doesn't care about the actual money, surely.
Yeah. I mean, you're coming towards the end of your career. He's 100K or 450K. One's playing for Manchester United, one's playing for Sporting Lisbon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, damn it,
you've also just got,
you know,
a brand new manager. Who
exactly,
really
yeah, there's a project building.
But there's no Champions League.
That is, yeah, sure, I can understand. Like, he's but also, like, what are they in the conference?
Conference League.
Go win the Conference League. Go on.
Getting back to your
drop
Europa.
A sue
in the final.
Oh, mate. He's a... No, I don't know. I think he's also just, as I said, 18 Premier League goals last season.
He had a fantastic season.
And also be really... I think he can help transition like into this new phase of United and kind of be there. I don't think he's going to play every game. I don't think Erik ten Hag will do that. Like, that's what one of the agreements supposedly was coming in, that Erik ten Hag can basically say and do what he wants. The players and club will listen. And so I don't think it's too bad. I think he'll be happy to stay in Manchester.
Do you think it'll be good to have him in the dressing room?
Definitely.
Or is there a clash, for example, with the Harry Maguire thing? He was club captain, but realistically, if you got Ronaldo in the dressing room, he's the captain. Harry Maguire.
But I think Eric Ten Hag carries a bit more authority and baggage with him.
Yeah.
So who's captain for United?
I mean,
next
did
year?
You not see his first involvement with the press?
Yeah.
Loves it.
But who's captain for United next year?
De Gea.
I actually think Maguire is going to have.
Do you reckon he keeps it?
I hope so.
That'd be perfectly timed for the World Cup. Oh yeah, God, he's going to have a great first half of the season. Smash the World Cup. We win the World Cup. He's going to come back and be absolute shit because he's been on the sesh for like the whole of Christmas.
Hasn't gone back to Greece though.
And he didn't bloody do my cameo.
Well, maybe when he's happier, you know.
No, it was a special soccer raid. To be fair, it was a special soccer raid edition of cameo, and I paid him a lot of money, and he didn't fucking do it.
What did you ask him to say?
I wanted him to set me a football challenge for video.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else did it. Not Harry Maguire.
I wanted to bring something up that has been the talk of a few people on the internet.
Oh, God.
And it's to do with our good friend, Mr. Ben Foster.
Love the boy.
And how the Watford chairman came out and said that his vlogs had an effect on the reason as to why they went down, and that he was told to stop doing them, but he continued doing them anyway. What are your thoughts
All that chairman done right there is just. But who can we blame for our
absolutely? Absolutely, he's a scapegoat. Yeah, and I've seen it as well. A lot of Watford fans have been really vocal about this as well, and been like, "Yeah, he's ruining the dressing room."
They weren't saying that when they were
point is like you can't blame Ben Foster's GoPro for them losing like 11 home games.
They got promoted to the Championship last year while he was doing it. Yeah. And he was doing it more when they got promoted. He wasn't allowed to vlog like an hour and a half before and after the game.
Mm.
That's an embarrassing view.
I also think...
What do you say back to those fans?
Fuck off, idiots. No, do you know what it is? It's older fans that are like, who can we blame?
Yeah, but they also don't understand YouTube.
Yeah.
And don't understand
all Ben Foster has done for that club is... People supported Watford who weren't Watford fans because of Ben Foster.
Yeah.
They wanted them to do well because all he's done is build a positive image of everyone at that club.
And he's opened up, like, I remember for so many guys growing up and girls, like, you dream of being a footballer. Mm-hmm. Like, and for a large majority of them, like, you never get the opportunity. And you always wonder, like, happens when you're behind the scenes of all this stuff. And Ben Foster, and it's not easy because I don't think a young footballer can't do this, because if he does, and they lose a game, right? Yeah. Say Mason Mount, for instance, went and like, I'm going to start vlogging or whatever and start doing this. And Chelsea got knocked out of the Champions League. Like, imagine he was doing it this season. He got knocked out by Real Madrid. And everyone would then go, he's too focused on his YouTube to whatever. Mm. So that's why he's not playing. But honestly, it doesn't really matter. Like, uploading a YouTube video or doing a YouTube video doesn't affect your performance at all. You're still going to, especially if you're an elite professional. But for Ben Foster, like, he was obviously coming towards the end of his career. Like, he's stepped into it. He's done such a fantastic job of it. And he's opened up the world to that, something that we've never seen before. To the point where his teammates are also starting it and doing YouTube channels. And like, it's become like, it's so good. Like, it's so good. I absolutely love it. And when he first did it and how he's continued to grow it and accept it as well. Like, this is a guy, I remember speaking to him and he was going, and he said, oh yeah, like I do my own thumbnails. And that blew my mind. It blew my mind. And Ben Foster is like sitting there and he goes to me, I don't have Photoshop, so I'm doing it on the free version on Google Chrome or whatever. And I was like, what on earth is happening? But like, that's so sick. And it's a guy that's really like committed to it and really dug in. Like, because other people could easily record themselves, send it to an editor. And he does send it to an editor, and that's absolutely fine. But also just like get someone else to basically manage everything.
Yeah.
He's really like chucked himself into the deep end and like sort of like started a podcast, started all this stuff. Like, I think it's fantastic. And for anyone to kind of really say otherwise and legitimately think that it's affecting his performances and affecting the club are viewed, like, it's so poor. Like, I say it's just a cheap excuse.
Yeah.
We're not going to get much of it next year.
We don't know where he's going.
No, but I mean, in terms of like Premier League vlog access. Who else in the Prem does it? I can't think of a single other footballer that.
But it's I don't think no one else does, and I don't think anyone else will until they're older.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine Declan Rice. Like, I can imagine him maybe like wanting to, or the idea when he's older, maybe thinking about it. But now it's just like it's too much. Like, they already get like so much abuse. Like,
even James Maddison, he'll upload a TikTok and it'll just
make so much.
Everyone
goes
crazy.
It.
I'm like, mate, he's like 24 years old. Yeah. Let him upload a fucking TikTok. What is wrong with
you? People forget, like, these are guys that have literally grown up watching YouTube, being on social media, like having Instagram, having Twitter and all this, and they get to a profession. Just because you're a professional footballer and you earn a lot of money, you now can't I post a YouTube video. Like, what? Like, yeah. It makes no sense. It makes no sense at all to me.
Well, Alphonso Davies is a good example, actually. Yeah. He is young.
Yeah, and a fantastic Twitch streamer.
Yeah, Twitch streams, YouTube, the lot. Like,
and it opens you up to so much more. Like, these are guys, like, people idolise these footballers and love them and everything. And so when they do go out of their way to do this kind of stuff, like, I think it's fantastic. It just shows you that, like, they're just a normal bloke.
But everyone loves Alphonso Davies, not because he's a footballer, because of his online personality.
Yeah, and it's a way to show your personality. Yeah. Right? Like, footballers are able to show their personality through online, and through Instagram, through TikTok, through Twitch, or whatever it might be. Like, they're able to show the way they are as a person and just build a better fan base. Like, you get to know what they're like. Otherwise, like, do people realistically miss the days of, like, back in the day where, like, you'd watch them for 90 minutes, you'd see them do a press conference, and then that's all you really knew about them. Mm. Like, I think it's more entertaining like this. So you're able to build a stronger fan base.
If you were Ben Foster, where would you go now?
Where would I go now? Oh, God.
The league where it's all happening.
The MLS. Yeah, that's what absolutely. I would do.
The MLS.
Because I guarantee they would eat that shit up. They would love it. They'd be like, oh, my God, man. Have you
seen the new agreement with the league?
That's why I could say
Apple TV.
Yeah.
MLS is good. Yeah.
For those people that don't know the current agreement situation, is you can buy a subscription that allows you to watch every single MLS game on Apple TV for like $10 a month.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's a 10-year deal starting from 2023 to stream every single MLS game on Apple TV. Rumored to be around $2.5 billion for the league, which honestly...
That's before advertising. That's subscriptions
alone,
all that's
going to do
right?
is just help the league, yeah, right? For sure. Yeah. And I think they need to. A lot of matches, will be... at no extra cost. The service will be free for anyone who owns a season ticket at an MLS club.
Oh,
that's sick.
See?
That's really good.
That's fucking sick.
That's really good. That's really, really good.
God, that is actually... I didn't know that.
Now they've just got to introduce a relegation.
Yeah.
And then they're laughing.
Like a football team.
Yeah, then they're laughing. Yeah. And it really is
Would you want that for the Premier League?
I would love that for the Premier League.
I don't really know. Like, I think the way things are going, like, they are definitely looking more towards, like, Netflix and that kind of way of things. But, I mean, the Premier League just has so much money in it. Like, $2 billion's like a lot there, but I think it's like for a three season right now for a three season I think they do it in like three season spells. Like, it's a ridiculous amount of money, and it's battled between like Amazon, Sky, and BT now.
But that's the thing, like, you have to pay for so many different services in order to get the games that you want. Like, if the Premier League came out and said, oh, we're sorting out our own own whatever streaming service, and you pay you pay 15 quid a month, there's not a single football fan in the country that would say no to that. If you've got every single game,
you're paying for BT, you're paying for Sky, you're paying for Amazon, whereas this, it's all in one location.
Yeah, exactly. So think about the amount of people that would pay for that and that don't already have like a Sky or a BT or whatnot.
I guess it's just about how much money do they make, like, because also then they've got to
Well, 100 million people, or sorry, like maybe 70 million people in the UK subscribe to that.
Sure, but then they've also got
that's 105.
There's only like
10.5 billion.
There's only like,
I'm not going to attempt the maths.
60, 70 million people
I'm
in
not
UK.
Good enough at maths, but what?
The UK population is like 70 million.
London is 60 million.
The whole UK is like.
I think
loads. The UK is like 70, 80 million people.
Don't think it is.
It is.
Can we get that checked? Because I feel like London alone is like 60 million.
No, wait.
No, London's like 6, I think, but UK population.
18? 18?
UK population is 67 million.
There you go. Thank you
and
very
I
much.
And I said 60 million just in London. Jesus
And you said
Christ.
70 million people in the UK would subscribe to Apple TV.
Okay, sorry. Well, including Ireland
you
as
more,
well.
That's the second moronic
thing
you
made
said
a dope look.
including Ireland as well then, but I think they have a separate... thing, but the point is,
I'm pissed off what you're trying to say. Were you just going 70 people would sign up to Apple TV, including Ireland?
Who? No, not Apple TV. No, an individual
a Premier League.
Yeah. Where you get X amount of people that pay 15 quid,
it's just
and
the
then
cost,
it's like,
right now the Premier League essentially don't do much. Like they don't have to put on a show every day or a show every Sunday, Saturday, whatever. Yeah. Like they don't have to send. I think they do still send like a cameraman, but they'd have to send so many more and all this kind of stuff. So I guess it's just what makes them more money, really, and like what's less hassle. Because right now they do a little thing.
Yeah, for Apple to come in and do this for the Prem, it'd be hundreds of billions.
This is it. Yeah. So it just depends. It depends. But also, like, I don't know. Either or. I mean, Football Daily owned by Sky, so I think legally you don't do it. Don't do it Netflix or anything like that. Keep going, Sky.
Will you, because of this deal, though, do you think you'll see more and more? You know how Bex was the first big Donny to go over to the MLS? Like, are you going to see a lot more players going over to the MLS now, because
potentially,
let's face it, you can prolong your career by going out there. Gerrard did it. Yeah. Rooney done it. Everyone.
And now there's more eyes.
Lampard. Lampard. I think it's a cash. Like you can make a lot of money going to the MLS.
Yes, yeah. And you can enjoy your football.
Yeah, yeah, and the lifestyle, right? Like part of the living in New York or living in Florida, wherever you
go to Miami,
Miami, like wherever you ideally want. They've got so many different climates there. If you want to be in a city, you can be in a city. Yeah. You want to be in the heat, be in the heat. And so yeah, I think it has a lot of plus. It's plus normally especially for the English guys, like they speak English, which is a lot more helpful. So yeah, I think there, and also like if you're Gareth Bale, loads of golf courses, you'd be over the moon. And so I think it's definitely something that people do think about now. But at the same time, I think you're seeing a lot of footballers get into their 30s and the way that sports sciences are able to play for so much longer. Like Thiago Silva, and as we mentioned, like Cristiano Ronaldo, like these are guys who are just well into their 30s and normally like we'd be saying like 38 years old, like, oh, they must be a goalkeeper, and even then they're coming to the end of their career.
Yeah,
no, it's like, but if you look, like 40, isn't he now?
If you look through like history though, like Zidane, I think retired like 34, Beckham maybe 35, and you thought, oh, they're getting old.
Yeah,
you know exactly.
Ronaldo's bagging like 18 goals a season.
Modric just won the
Casemiro.
Champions
League. I think you're seeing footballers like, but again, my only other worry is these footballers nowadays are also getting into the game so much younger. Like Jude Bellingham started playing football, like professional football at 16. Yeah. Like realistically.
Well, Rooney did.
Yeah, Rooney did. And Rooney retired like when he was 33, 34.
Yeah, 33.
And so like maybe it also means that if you are getting in younger, you're probably going to still have to retire early just based on playing so many games, especially with how football's going and playing more and more. But I guess it's tomato, tomato, like either way, really.
Yeah.
Whatever's going to pay me more money, I'll go to the MLS if it's that.
Well, there's going to be more eyes on the
I would love to see Ben Foster in the MLS.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fantastic.
I wonder what he'll do with his podcast, though. Will he move his mate over?
Would Ryan Alex have to go over? Tom go over?
I think he would.
Yeah, but then also you've got your whole family, kids go to school. You're changing your whole life. Speaking of someone who hasn't changed their whole life in terms of location, but they did in terms of money, Kylian. My mate Kylian Mbappe.
Your mate Kylian Mbappe.
My mate Kylian Mbappe. You know, we go way back.
Did you have
now.
A little word in his ear? Stay at PSG.
I said, mate, please stay, otherwise I can't upload this film. Perez. Florentino Perez. Yeah, that's
salty
a big
boy.
Idiot.
Salty boy.
He's come out, he's a Real Madrid president, people aren't aware, and said that Kylian Mbappe must have changed his dream after agreeing to stay at PSG for another 3 years. This is not the Mbappe I wanted to bring. This is another one. If it is, I prefer him to stay at PSG. I want the one with the dream. His dream was to play at Real Madrid. He wanted to do it last August and they didn't let him leave.
It is quite ill-timed as well. They've just won the Champions League, proved they're like the best in Europe, and then he's turned around and gone, actually, mate, I'd just sooner run a football club in France.
My dream is to play for Chelsea, right? Well, of course. But if someone offered me the amount of money that Kylian, I'd play wherever you want me to.
Yeah. And you know the best thing happily. Is, at the end of his 3 years at PSG, he's 25 and he's earned £4 million plus a month.
Yeah, yeah.
He owns the club.
Yeah,
he's chosen the manager.
He's basically playing. You know where?
He's French. Like people forget, it's the best club in his country.
Paris.
Yeah,
he's from Paris.
He's fucking Parisian. He's
basically playing a version.
He's the face of his country
of FIFA football manager
with football now. And he had a financial takeover as well.
Yeah, and he's had a financial takeover as well. Like he's just living life, man. Yeah. He's going to become the best player in the world. Like he's legitimately ridiculous. And he now gets to run the club in whatever way he wants. I mean, I don't know the full degree of it.
Yeah,
that's a really good point. People forget he's Parisian.
Yeah, people do forget he's Parisian.
Like, mate, he's playing for his home club.
Yeah.
He's literally doing an Iniesta, sort of.
Yeah.
He's at Monaco and then he went back.
Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Like, I think as you mentioned, like 25 years old to then go, because I think that's the thing, no matter what now, like, will PSG ever accept an amount of money for Kylian Mbappe? Probably.
He'll leave on a free.
Exactly. If they said no to 200 million euro, 220 million euros, whatever it was, like they're going to say no to whatever fee unless it's something ridiculous.
He'll leave on a free. But the issue is now is that he, to go anywhere, he has to drop his wages. Who can afford to pay him a mil a week?
Oh, this is why.
Or maybe in 3 years, football's changed and people are on a mil a week.
Wouldn't shock me with the way football is going, to be honest. But the other element as well is then you look at La Liga and they came out and were like, well, can UEFA go look at the FFP of these boys, of City and City and PSG? And I mean, FFP is just nonsense. Nothing ever comes out of it. But it's just salty, man. Like, it's salty from Perez. It's salty from La Liga. Like,
it's unnecessary salt as well.
You just won the Champions League.
Yeah, they're building a good
And
future.
You've just got Tchouaméni as well. Like the next great midfielder, supposedly.
French
you're
as
just
well.
Sitting there. French, yeah. That's the other thing. You're kind of building a team that you're getting all of Mbappe's mates there. Yeah, right?
You're like, building a team for Mbappe in 3 years.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine in 3 years when Mbappe does maybe join. Then you look at these comments. You're like, well, it's a bit weird to have said that now that he's here. Yeah. Like, was his dream changed again?
What's your quick opinion on Erling Haaland? How do you think he'll do in the Premier League next season?
Rip it up. Like,
really?
I think it's tough to guarantee things, but I would happily put my neck on the line and say, I mean, it's not that much, but like, I would happily say.
How many goals a season?
If he stays fit, 20. Five.
Plus, maybe 30.
Just in the Prem.
Yeah.
Just 25 plus in the Prem. Like, this is a guy
just
who.
Just adding numbers.
Yeah. I think he's ridiculous.
Stop staring at me.
Like, he's
he said a couple moronic things today. He thinks Haaland's going to stink up the gaff.
No, I didn't. Stop twisting.
What are your words?
I said I have my reservations. I said.
He's literally one of the best strikers in the world.
Yeah,
he tears up Champions League. He bullies defenders. He bullies Premier League defenders.
Yeah, but
it's impossible for him to fail.
to 6 months on TikTok.
Exactly.
Erling Haaland flop.
Yeah, the issue around him always is minutes.
Yeah.
And in a team where famously no one holds minutes.
He starts every game.
But I think.
I don't think he does.
I think he does.
I don't think you bring Haaland in and just bench him.
Yeah, no, not even necessarily benching him, but I have. The guy has injury concerns.
He does have injury concerns, yeah. Last year he played half the minutes, but I just think he'll. And also. City just do a thing where players don't get injured, and if they do, they go to Barcelona, get an injection, and they're back in 2 weeks.
If he stays injury free, he starts every game and he bags.
Do you know what?
Like Bournemouth could be in for an.
Oh mate, I think honestly he gets like 4 goals in that game, which I'm not.
He
even,
gets 4 goals every game.
Yeah, maybe he does. Maybe
he rocks up at United. You know what? And shits on them.
I love him as a player. So regardless of what happens, I haven't changed my tone. I have reservations about him. I don't. Realistically, he should come to this league with the service that City can provide him and get 25 goals.
He's going to finish with the top goal scorer and a Premier League title at the end of the year.
Part of me would like to think that he is human and that actually he will struggle.
Yeah.
So like he'll like find this system where he's got, because they'll just go like, no, don't touch the ball. We'll put the ball in the box and you finish it. But like maybe, like part of me likes to think, and it's just the optimist that like he is a bit human and he will find it a bit difficult to fit into Pep Guardiola's system. But I'm also
He's Latan on steroids. Is the thought of
But Zlatan and Pep Guardiola fell out because he wasn't willing to do Pep Guardiola stuff.
Alling's different.
I'm willing to concede the closer it gets to the Premier League season, the more I think he probably will do
those
really
pre-season
well.
Games but are disgusting.
But I also know the track record of Haaland, and it's like scores 4 goals a game, out for the next 3 games. Scores 6 over the next 2.
I told
two,
you, City have some dodgy thing where they don't.
maybe the City injections are what will keep him through. But like,
and they've just got Alvarez sitting there as well, who's also like ridiculous.
No, yeah, I think.
And
I
who
think
they signing? They've got two other new players they're signing as well.
They're linked with,
might be on his way.
Yeah,
Calvin Phillips and Cucurella. I'm sorry, City, you are taking the piss.
And then they went, let's just buy Palermo.
yeah, just buy.
They're taking a piss. They're overpowered.
Oh, I agree. I think Haaland, whatever.
You know who you should have this conversation with? Kieran. Kieran Carlin will.
It's true. Yeah, we're getting
eat
on.
This up. He yeah. Eat this up.
But he will be in my FPL, I reckon.
Oh, 100%. And it's going to
cost shit,
so much money.
Yeah.
Oh,
big shock.
He's captain.
Big shock.
Captain every week. Be like 150% different.
Him and Salah, and then the rest of my league can just go on absolute
shit.
It's all
you need. Yeah. It's all you need. We touched on it briefly. I'll just briefly mention the Barcelona situation.
Yeah.
Obviously, you said they sold 49.9% of their merchandise and licensing rights.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
So basically, short term, it means they can sign players. Long term, it means like then. From what I've read, it means for every €1 they spend now, they essentially have to pay back eventually or like give. Or like they're losing out
it's
on
like
4 euros
sort of loan,
eventually.
Really.
And also this is a club, right, that was like had a proper like moral about them and like refused to sell a sponsor on the shirt because they wanted to give it to UNICEF and all this stuff. And now they're like doing this. Like it's got really bad. Essentially.
They've also voted to sell 25% of their La Liga television rights for the next 25 years.
Yeah.
There's a mortgage.
Yeah. But it's short term, it helps them out now, but long term, like they've got to still sort it out.
Yeah, it's to raise funds for the transfer window.
And they are still in the same position as last summer in regards to La Liga wage cap.
Yeah, so they supposedly owe, from what I remember, supposedly they owe Gerard Piqué 80 million.
Jesus,
last
really?
Year, last year they went to Piqué, can you and the captains, because like Sergio Roberto and like someone else is considered, Jordi Alba were considered like the captains of the squad, and they were like, can you drop your salary and we'll just pay it to you over time, eventually, like, when you retire.
Well, Piqué ain't getting no money and, now. Yeah, he's getting shifted out of the club.
Mean. Yeah, it's especially after the Shakira stuff.
Yeah.
Imagine cheating on Shakira and then Xavi goes, don't like that, you're out. He's had a stinker. He had a great week. Overlap came across brilliantly.
He did. He did.
What a poor timing that was. You fucked it, Gerard.
Yeah.
And he lost Shakira. But yeah, I'm reading here as well. If they do sign someone this summer, they can't actually play for them.
Again, the it's like cap. Registering. Yeah, it's like they basically got sort out. There's so much to it, and it's like football sometimes gets into such like finances stuff where I'm just like, I didn't sign up for this. This wasn't what I was. I'd like to
business
talk about
and politics.
It. Yeah, I didn't sign up for this. But well, yeah, they're in trouble.
Obviously, Qatar this year, but in 2026 it is in Canada, America, and Mexico. I'm actually really looking forward to that World Cup.
I'm going to try and get as many brand deals as possible for that one.
Well, you probably will, because it is America and exactly. They love brand deals. And every single stadium is a branded stadium.
Exactly.
Really?
Yeah, mate. So you got the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, nice. Which I've been to.
Unreal.
Belter.
Yeah.
Gillette Stadium in Boston. AT&T in Dallas. Estadio Akron in Guadalajara. NRG, I'm guessing that's a brand, in Houston. Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas. SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. SoFi is, I believe, is actually renamed. It was the thingy, the big famous one. I can't remember.
Nice.
The Mexico City, though, Estadio Azteca. Oh, that's going to be a popper. Hard Rock Stadium, Miami.
Yeah.
Estadio BBVA, Monterrey, Canada, I think. New York, New Jersey, MetLife Stadium, being there. Very cool. Philadelphia got the Lincoln Financial Field. San Francisco Bay got the Levi Stadium. Seattle got Lumen. Lumen? Newman. Toronto BMO.
Wait, Newman, which one is it?
Lumen Field. Okay. Vancouver, the BC place, man. That's going to be quality. That's actually going to be quality.
Mm.
Looking forward to that.
And we'll win it then as well.
We will.
We'll win it this year, and then we'll win it in 4 years' time and win the Euros in between.
Do you really think we'll win it this year?
I go a little bit... I like to think I'm quite calm-headed, but with England, I just let myself go. I'm like, we'll win it. I really enjoy... And also, it's just like a time where, like... You know, everyone's in it together. Like, I absolutely adore that. Like, you're walking on the streets after an England game where we've beaten like Sweden just about, and everyone's just like, go on. Everyone's loving it. Singing Three Lines on our shirt.
Tell you what, England is England. We've got England, America, Wales, Iran.
Yeah.
Wales, fucking hell, that's going to be a popper. Oh, that's going to be
absolutely
a popper.
Group of death, like, literally.
Yeah.
It's going to be a big game. Wales is going to be huge. Like, USA is going to be huge. USA is going to be massive.
They got a really good team, USA.
They are. They're up and down, though. They're up and down, USA. Like, obviously, again, if Pulisic, who's their, like, star man, can really, like, develop onto it, like, that would be fantastic for them. But England have such a good team. Like, it's such a talented team. And, again, players are coming through every single year who are just impressing you more and more. And the guys that were impressing the season before are, like, a couple more years older and more experienced and understand this stuff. I'll be really, really interested. I'll be like looking forward to seeing Phil Foden, because I actually thought we didn't really see that much of Phil Foden in the Euros.
Yeah.
And so seeing him come in, like seeing Bellingham as well, like a senior, like a proper figurehead of England. Like to maybe see Tomori too, like in that squad. And so I'm very, very excited. I think we can go all the way. There are also some really good other teams.
Yes. Shall we do a super, super early... Top goal scorer, Golden Glove,
God.
Winner, dark horse thing.
Okay.
Do you want to do it?
Yeah, here's mine.
All right.
Top goal scorer.
That took all of 2.5 seconds.
Top goal scorer, Kylian Mbappe.
Fair enough.
It'll be England-France in the final.
Okay.
England will win.
Love it.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it doesn't matter.
We'll make it work. Right. We'll change the format.
There must be, because it all depends if you finish first or second.
Yeah. Okay, there can be slight.
Yeah.
I think Mbappe will be top goal scorer.
I think we do meet them on our side of the bracket, though, before.
Oh, well. Oh really?
Yeah, okay. I think quarterfinal we meet France if we both come first.
I think Golden Glove will give it to Pickford.
Nice.
He's unbelievable for England. Yeah, exactly. He's always unbelievable for England.
Dark Horse will be... Portugal.
Portugal dark horse?
Just getting the entire list of teams up there.
Yeah.
Is Denmark in there? Denmark's normally an easy one to just say they'll be dark horse.
Yeah.
They always do pretty well. Mexico, they're always dark horses.
Qatar.
Fucking hell.
No chance.
Yeah, Denmark. That's a good shout. Are they dark horse? They did fantastic in the Euros.
Yeah, they're dark horse.
Yeah, but you'd never back them to win it.
That's it. Goal scorer, top goal scorer.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Harry Kane. He won the last one.
And if he can, start as well and not wait until the knockout stages, because he didn't do so well in the groups. Like, if he can start early, it'll be brilliant for us.
I've got to back England to the win.
And then Golden Glove?
Golden Glove will be...
Ugolotti?
Not the Italians.
No, it won't be.
Sorry, Giggly Angly, Donnarumma.
Neuer.
Yeah, fair enough.
Germany will
be really good, man. Yeah, I think Germany will be really good.
Wait, who's not going to play? Surely he's going to play. It might be his last World Cup, right?
It'll probably be his last World Cup. Harry Kane.
You think Germany are going to do quite well then, if they're going to win Golden Glove?
Relatively.
Okay, interesting.
But you can't put them as a dark horse.
No, you can't. Who's your dark horse, sorry?
My dark horse is... Senegal.
Oh, yes,
a huge shout.
I like that shout.
Are they dark horse though when they won AFCON?
Yeah, any African team, they're not expected to even make knockouts, are they really?
They are a fantastic team. Anyway,
Senegal's a great shout. I'm nicking that for my dark horse.
Okay.
I'm nicking that.
Well, later in the year when...
Definitely. When all of these are coming up. Yeah, these guys. Yeah. You know who I've been thinking about? Senegal. Like, I really, really like it. Yeah, Senegal I'll go with. I think maybe America might be fun. For sure.
Even Wales. You just never know with them.
Yeah.
Who's your... top goal scorer?
It's either between Harry Kane or Kylian Mbappe. Like, if England are going to go far, then it's going to have to be Harry Kane. Obviously, Raheem Sterling was pretty good for us in the Euros, to be fair. But Harry Kane. Golden Glove, I'll go with Edouard Mendy then. It's how they link up.
I like it.
I think they'll just get popped a lot.
Who's in the group, Senegal? If we can have a quick look.
I don't know. I don't think they're in necessarily a tough one, though, because... Maybe they are.
Senegal have Qatar, Ecuador, and the Netherlands.
Oh my God, that's an unreal group for them.
Yeah. But they did. Surely they were quite a high seed, really, like going into.
Yeah, they would have been. Yeah, because they in the qualifications. Yeah, now Algeria, my beloved Africans, they got destroyed.
Mm. Cameroon have. Cameroon. Then I think of Cameroon and I think Eto's still playing, but he's not. But he's not. He's not still playing.
Joel Matip. He's Cameroonian, right?
Yeah.
Last I remember though, Matip, he's not played for Cameroon for a long time.
Okay, well, his nation on FIFA is Cameroon.
Yeah.
So it makes it like... But have you ever heard him talk? He's got the strongest German accent in
football. Oh, really? Is he not half German, is he?
Well, I must be because he's grown up there.
Like, Rudiger's... not Senegalese. He is Sierra Leone.
Really?
Rudiger's Sierra Leone. Yeah.
But he's got Sarnay's some mad German accent, like... When he did a video with Joe and Van Dijk, and it was like listing things, and I was like, I can't believe this guy is like the zombies, mate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, literally.
Are you done your list? Is that your final list?
Yeah.
Who's to win?
England. Got to back it.
Speaking of competitions, we have our very own competition.
Oh, no whiteboard though.
No whiteboard.
Ooh.
No, you know who stole the whiteboard, don't you?
Oh, have they?
Bloody GK Barry.
Oh, bloody hell.
Honestly, she stole our pen. She ruined our microphones. She stole our whiteboard.
Yeah.
What's next?
What is next? Who knows? We'll have to find out in the next installment of Pitch Side. But question number one of the quiz. If you want to play along, by the way, leave your comments in the comment section down below. 5 questions.
I'm not good at quizzes.
I'll say average is 3. Booby got 5.
Pretty solid ball knowledge, though.
Booby got 5.
To a degree. To a degree. If it goes before 2012, I've got no chance.
Okay.
Here we go. Question number one, please.
Question number one. This is one for Zach. Who was Chelsea's top goal scorer in all competitions this season?
It's Romelu Lukaku, I think.
Surely not.
Yeah, Mason Mount was top in Prem.
Kai?
Kai got like 20 goals and assists in all competitions, but I think it's Lukaku in all comps.
It is Lukaku.
Nice.
Really, I thought he had a rotter.
It did, but nobody in Chelsea scored goals.
I think Mason Mount got like 11, 10 Premier League goals.
Well, about halfway through the season, your top goal scorers were Ben Chilwell and Reece James.
Yeah, literally.
Wait, so what was Lukaku's stats?
Lukaku got 15 in all comps.
Yeah.
Goals and assists?
No.
Just goals.
Just goals, yeah. Got a couple in the Club World Cup as well.
He peppered people in the FA Cup, didn't he?
So. Yeah. He only got like, was it like 5 Premier League goals?
I think it was 8.
8. Oh, God. Like Mason Mount got, I think, like 10. So he was our top Premier League one, but yeah. Rough up top for Chelsea.
1 out of 1. Question number 2.
Where are they coming from next year? Sorry.
Kai Havertz. Kai Havertz, baby. Yeah. Play Kai Havertz through the middle and the boy will eventually become the best for us. I really believe it.
He's not a proper... Well, he's like a converted number 9, yeah, so he technically doesn't fit the curse.
But I don't know exactly... Precisely. Yeah. That's the thinking. And also just like he's talented. He's super, super talented. He can like really become... like something special.
Yeah. We watched him score a chip goal at Union Berlin, didn't we?
What, for Leverkusen?
Of course we did.
Yeah,
he scored
a chip. Do you not remember?
Yeah,
we were
I
like, do. This guy's sick, man.
Yeah. We actually scouted him. We told him.
Yeah.
you sent the messages.
Yeah.
Tommy T.
Ready?
Question number 2. 6 players got 10 or more assists in the Premier League this season. Can you name 5 of them?
10 or more assists.
10 or more actual assists, not like FPL assists.
This is for Zach. This is for Zach.
Okay.
This is me. All of it. Oh, I thought this. Okay.
Long, but.
Okay. So say the question once more, please.
6 players got 10 or more assists in the Premier League this season. Can you name 5?
Can you name 5 of them? Mason Mount. So can I only get 1 wrong, basically?
Yeah.
I'll give you 1 wrong, yeah.
Oh, fucking. Surely. Kevin
think
Brown,
obvious, man.
Surely. Yeah, Kevin Kevin De Bruyne.
No.
Fucking knew it. I knew it.
Kevin De Bruyne didn't get more than 10 assists.
He got 8.
Oh. Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Yeah. There you go.
Robertson.
Yeah. 1 more.
Oh, I know. I think I know who it is.
Okay. Harry Kane.
No.
No! Oh!
Is it Son?
No.
Is it Jared Bowen?
Yeah.
Oh.
Jared Bowen and Harvey Barnes were the other 2 you didn't.
Oh, nowhere near going near Harvey Barnes, but fair play.
Oh, my God.
I
can
remember like Harry Kane in the beginning of the season, like basically playing centre mid.
He got 9.
Oh, that's unlucky.
Fair play.
No, so, KDB, though. That's pretty mental.
Yeah.
I had a feeling he didn't.
Goals.
I had a feeling he didn't, but yeah.
So 1 out of 2.
1 out of 2.
Next question.
That was a pretty good one.
Yeah, enjoy this.
Question number 3. Who has a better goals per game ratio in the Premier League throughout their career? Harry Kane or Mohamed Salah?
What did you say earlier? You said goals to game.
Well, goals per game, not
no, you said goals and assists, didn't you?
Yeah, I said non-penalty goals and assists per 90.
Surely this is a lump guess, isn't it?
Oh, no. So is it Mohamed? I was about to say, is it Mohamed Salah or is it Harry Kane? Obviously. Let's go.
It's 50-50, mate.
With Mohamed Salah.
Harry Kane.
Yeah.
Oh!
See, this is, fuck.
You went for the winger, not the striker.
Damn it. Yeah, not much to say than that. I mean, probably should, you're right. Should have probably backed the striker over the winger.
Okay, number 4. 2 of the Premier League's biggest flops are leaving this summer. Danny Drinkwater and Paul Pogba. What's more, Danny Drinkwater's price per appearance or Pogba's price per goal contribution?
Are these the standard of the questions normally?
Kind of.
Wait, are you making these up?
God. This is sick.
Oh my God.
Wow.
Good question.
Per appearance.
And Danny Drinkwater cost Chelsea about 30 million.
30 mil, it was, wasn't it?
All comps.
All comps.
Oh, surely he's played at least 30 games.
So that would be 1 mil per...
Yeah,
and you think Pogba's come up with 80 goal contributions?
Yeah, exactly, he hasn't. That's what I mean. Goal contributions,
goals, and assists.
He might be close to that.
You reckon it, what in total at United?
Let's go, Paul Pogba. It's Danny Drinkwater, isn't it?
Fuck.
What have you got the stats?
It had
Drinkwater cost 1.52 million.
He didn't play 30 games.
23, I believe.
Even counting the under 23 games that he played.
No. Oh, he got sent off on.
Yeah, he did. Oh, this is a horrible show.
And what's Pogba?
Pogba is 1.33 million.
Oh, they're close then.
Oh, my goodness me.
1.33 mil per goal contribution. That's pretty mad, to be fair. Cost United a million a goal.
Should have backed Chelsea.
Involvement. Yeah. Not even a goal. But FPL assists, got quite a few of them.
What, winning pens?
Yeah. Well,
One out of 4.
Or deflected
shots. He did
shots.
Win it. Yeah, yeah, true. 1 out of 4. God, well, got to get these 2 to at least be average.
You can all get involved in this because I think this is quite difficult. I have got a bonus.
Okay.
The first 3 clues are, it's in Burma. I've played for 8 different clubs, but none of them were in the same country. I've been club teammates with Cristiano Ronaldo, Robert Lewandowski, and Fabian Delph. and I have 6 World Cup goals, but my country didn't qualify for Qatar.
Fucking Christ. Okay.
What?
So, Robert Lewandowski.
Oh, I think I know who it is. I think I know what nationality they are.
I think I've got it.
Well, hey, keep it in.
All right. I don't know when he played with Robert. Oh, maybe. Oh, yeah, I think I've got it.
Okay. Does this count internationals? Like, has he played these players through internationals?
All of those 3 players were club teams.
Yes.
Club level. Okay.
And, okay.
Wait, you whispered to him what you think it is.
I know, I wish he didn't. I wish the nationality.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I might be wrong. I was wrong last week.
Bayern Munich, Dortmund, Ronaldo, and who's the other player?
Fabian Delph.
He ain't got 6 World Cup
Fabian
goals.
Fabian Delph.
But it's not, he,
so he must have come
how
from
how many World Cup? 6 World Cup goals?
6 World Cup
goals. Oh, actual World Cup goals. Oh, yeah, you're right. He hasn't got 6 World Cup goals.
A forward that have played for like Everton, City, Villa.
But may not be Everton. Oh, right.
And also played at Dortmund or Bayern Munich, because I don't know the Polish club to save my life. So who's not played?
No.
Oh my God.
A little bit behind the time, I think.
Mm. Fucking naught. I haven't even got a Scooby. Who are you going to say? I'll say that.
Oh, I'm way wrong, because it was 6 World Cup goals. I originally thought Moise Keane, but he's too young for that.
I might throw Del Piero in with a shout.
I'm thinking Italian.
But then did Delph go abroad?
No.
Dortmund or Bayern Munich?
You just got to find that link between Dortmund and Bayern. This is difficult.
We think Italian.
What played with Ronaldo at Juve?
Potentially, but I mean, like he specifically said didn't qualify for the World Cup, but they've scored World Cup goals.
Oh, that's great.
So,
okay.
So they've got to be a team that scores in the World Cup.
That's why I think Italian.
Yeah.
Chiesa's not gone to Dortmund or Lewandowski, but he's got... Okay, so... Okay. Which player in the Juve team played in Bayern Munich or
Dortmund?
You think
6 goals got to be an attacker, right?
Exactly. I obviously haven't got a Scooby, bro.
Can we get the bonus thing?
The bonus is I share my first name with a current Liverpool midfielder.
What? Naby, Alex.
Thiago.
Jordan.
Fabinho is not a first name, is it?
This is difficult, bro. Jesus Christ. I can't even think of a player. Like,
Thiago someone?
Like
is there a Thiago?
With the first team midfielder?
Yeah.
Starting 11?
No.
You haven't said him. We haven't said him.
So it's
like, it could be like Harvey Elliott or...
Harvey Elliott. Who's another midfielder that plays them? This is what I hate. It's when like if it was like a normal day, but when it's under the lights, it's just so much tougher.
Yeah,
like it's so much tougher. I would fucking not a clue, bro. I legitimately can't do this.
Can we look for the Liverpool team?
Yeah.
Oh my God, we can. That is an elite.
It's a good one. Tasty.
So played with Ronaldo. That's played for Juve. That's played at Dortmund and. If you want, before you look to the Liverpool team, I can tell you which clubs they played at.
Yes. Okay. Defo.
So they played at Real Madrid with Cristiano Ronaldo.
Bayern
Munich with Lewandowski. And Everton with Fabian Delph.
James Rodriguez.
Yes.
Fucking hell. Oh, Colombia.
Yeah.
6 World Cup goals.
Yeah, 6 World Cup goals. One of them, an absolute peach off the... like spins round.
We got stuck on Italy.
Yeah,
tough as well. He's also played for a fuck ton of clubs as well, haven't he?
And
that's
all
so
in
obvious.
Different
yeah.
countries.
Oh, shit. That's actually indeed so obvious. Just pick the wrong nation. If you just said Colombia straight away, James Rodriguez, don't you?
I hate this. Who am I? I've always screwed me mind.
2 out of 5? That was a tough one.
2 out of 5? Oh, God. Well, put that on the leaderboard. On the leaderboard. Who's at
the
top?
Yeah, it's over. Booby had 5.
Of course he did. I'll take it.
No,
it's a record somewhere.
There's a few that got one. There's a few that. Yeah,
I think so.
Well, Harry yet?
Freezy got one. Ben Foster got one. So
which Harry?
Roadshaw.
2-3? Maybe 2. Oh, maybe. We have no reference.
Dumb me in. What did Rory get? High.
4, I think.
Yeah, of course he did. Loser.
On that note, thank you very much for coming on.
Thank you, lads. Much appreciated. Thank you very much.
I've really enjoyed this one.
If you've got any spare time as well, you can hop on a Chelsea Live with us.
Happily.
When the season starts.
Yeah.
It'll be like, a lot of tears.
What is it, 71 days, I think?
I don't know.
51 days, I think. 70.
No idea. We would currently be in the middle of the World Cup.
Don't even imagine.
Yes.
Imagine the scene in 33 degree weather. Oopa.
Yeah, I'm excited for the winter.
I'm excited for the change.
Really?
The
I'm finding
one.
It a bit.
Yeah.
Nah, you'll love it. We'll get inside a pub.
What else have you got to do in winter?
No, I know, but it's just the idea of like in a coat, like in the summer, when you're in a beer garden. The
yeah, but it'd be different
you.
Vibes. It'll be inside
can't
the pub.
Beer everywhere in a pub, can you?
Yeah, like? You can. Yeah, you can. Anyways, yeah, thank you so much for watching, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't already, make sure to subscribe with notifications turned on. Closing on 100K. Rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And Zach, all your stuff will be in the link to the description down below.
Thank you very much.
And we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Peace.